You know, it's one thing to anticipate the joy of heaven, but this side of eternity, where life can be difficult, filled with uncertainty, danger, sadness, how do you maintain a joyful outlook all the time? Find out next on today's Grace to You. You know, it's easy to maintain a pleasant outlook when things are going your way. But how do you stay joyful when you're being mistreated, falsely accused, even when your life is in danger because of your faith? Now, in those difficult circumstances, you have something in common with the medieval reformer John Huss. His commitment to the true teaching of Scripture brought ridicule and persecution. His bold proclamation of the true gospel, that a man is saved by faith in Christ alone, led to his arrest. And his refusal to recant his beliefs prompted his execution. John Huss was burned at the stake for his faith. As the flames raged, Huss is reported to have been singing hymns of Christ's redemption. Well, what produces that kind of joy? And how can you have genuine lasting joy even in the most dire of circumstances? That's John MacArthur's focus today on Grace to You, as he continues a compelling study from the book of Philippians. It's titled, Joy Rules. And now here's John with today's lesson.
I can easily discern, if given enough time, a heart where the Spirit of God is not in control because there's no joy. And the tendency is always to focus on everyone's unkindness, ingratitude, faults, wounds that they've inflicted on us. It's a dead giveaway. What isn't right about everybody? What isn't the way people want it to be? Learn to walk in the Spirit. Learn to yield to the Spirit. And the Spirit of God has a way of erasing the tape of negative things. I thank God for that. That's the work of the Spirit in the heart of the believer. Bitterness, unforgiveness, always remembering evil, that is the work of the flesh, holding grudges. Paul's joy was expressed in pleasant memories. That is a basic element of joy. That's the joy of recollection. Let's look at a second joy. I wish we could say more about that. Second joy, the joy of intercession. This is another element of joy. Verse 4, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Now, here's an element of joy that you never want to miss. The delight of praying for others. When the Spirit of God is in control of a life, and you're living in obedience to God's Word, and under the control of the Spirit, you will delight in praying for others. Paul says, on my every occasion of praying for you, I am filled with joy. Now, that's tied to his recollection. That's tied to the joy of his memories. And this is the joy of having the privilege to petition. The word here for prayer has to do with petition, deesis, used two times in the verse. It's the idea of asking God for something for someone else. And that is the expression of joy. Joy of the Holy Spirit tends not to be bound up with what I have, but in the privilege of praying that God would pour out His blessing on others. True joy is expressed in the fact that I can see God at work in someone else's life. Much more preoccupied with them than with me. Here is Paul, prisoner, in a negative circumstance, not only physically, but in terms of his ministry. You're going to find out later in the chapter, people were really, really criticizing him without mercy and without kindness. And he was not worthy of that at all. So he was undergoing all of that bitterness from rival preachers and people who had animosity toward him. But his particular circumstance did not affect his joy. And the evidence that it was a Spirit-produced joy is the fact that he was all wrapped up in the delight of praying for other people's needs when he himself had needs far greater than theirs in some ways. Making requests to God for others is an element of joy. You can tell if you're experiencing Holy Spirit joy. Do you find delight in interceding on someone's behalf? When you pray, is it your joy to pray for the spiritual benefit, blessing, progress of someone else? Or are you forever and always praying only about yourself? Now, it is true that sometimes our prayers for others involve pain. Sure, even in chapter 3, would you notice verse 18? Paul says, verse 17, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." Hey, there were some people he prayed about with tears, those who were the enemies of Christ. But with regard to the Philippians, his prayers were painless and filled with pleasure and delight. He loved them. They loved him. He was filled with joy over them, and that joy expressed itself in a delight to pray on their behalf. You see, love is concern for others. Joy is found in that love being fulfilled, in that others are having their needs met. Joy delights in petitioning God for someone else's needs. It doesn't concern itself with itself. Even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, it joyfully asks for others to be blessed. It is concerned more about the pain of others than about itself, and that's what chapter 2 says. "Look not on your own things, or let each of you regard one another as more important than himself." And I think it's especially joyous in this case when Paul knew that the spiritual state of those for whom he prayed was good. He found a special joy in that. Even the two women in chapter 4 who were a problem couldn't steal his joy. They couldn't steal his joy. After talking about them in verse 10, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly." He even says, "Rejoice always, and again I say rejoice." I guess I have to confess to you that I fear that there are very few Christians who know the true joy that the Holy Spirit gives to a fully obedient Christian. And it shows up in these two ways: their negative thoughts toward others and the lack of concern, delight, and joy in praying for others. They're self-centered. They're selfish. And so when somebody else offends them, they hold a grudge. That's ego. That's pride. They find little delight in praying for others. They're not nearly so concerned with them as they are with themselves. That's evidence of no joy in the Spirit. That's evidence of a carnal, fleshly conduct. Love really finds its expression in the delight of the well-being of others. That's an element of joy. It's a man named George Raindrop, an interesting name, wrote a book called No Common Task. It's got one beautiful incident in it, and I want to relate it to you. In the book, he tells about a nurse and how this nurse taught a man to pray and literally changed the man's entire life. Story says he was a dull, disgruntled, dispirited man who became a man of joy. This is what the writer says. Much of the nurse's work was done with her hands. And she used her hand as it were, a scheme of prayer. Each of her fingers stood for someone. Her thumb was nearest to her, and it reminded her to pray for those who were nearest and closest and dearest to her. The second finger was used for pointing. Those who teach us point to us with it when they would ask us a question. Therefore, her second finger stood for all her teachers. She prayed for them. The third finger is the tallest, and it stood for the VIPs, the leaders in every sphere of life. The fourth finger is the weakest, as every pianist knows, and it stood for those who were weak and in trouble and in pain. And the little finger is the smallest and the most unimportant, and to the nurse, it stood for herself. That's a lovely scheme of prayer. And there will always be a deep sense of joy in the heart of one who learns to pray by that little scheme. Starting with others and ending up with the most insignificant of all, yourself. That's the joy of intercession, the joy of petition. One other thought, the joy of participation, the joy of participation. Another element of joy, one comes from the idea that we are able so wonderfully to remember the good things. Another, that we have the privilege of interceding on behalf of those we love. Both are elements of Spirit-filled joy. A third one is the joy of participation. Verse 5 says, in view of your participation, the word is koinonia, your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul rejoiced over their partnership. That's what that word means. Their communion, fellowship, participation. He was thankful because of their participation in the gospel. That's their salvation. Grateful because they were believers. And then he adds, from the first day of your conversion until now. He's thankful for their fellowship in salvation, but since salvation, through all the years that have passed, they have been partners, sharers, fellowshippers. Now, it is true that the word koinonia, partnership, fellowship, communion, is used in the New Testament sometimes to refer to monetary contribution, giving money. It has that very explicit meaning in several New Testament passages. In fact, it says in Romans 12:13, contributing to the necessity of the saints, and there uses the word koinonia, partnership. It is a contribution very often. It is an expression of commonness, of partnership, of love when you give money to support. In Romans 15:26, the contribution to the poor saints in Jerusalem is the word partnership. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, chapter 9, verse 13, 1 Timothy 6:18, Hebrews 13:16, the word koinonia is used of a monetary contribution. That's a kind of partnership. So he is saying, maybe in the broadest sense, I rejoice that you're saved, that you're a partner with me in the gospel. Further, that you're a partner with me in the spread of the gospel by your gifts, your giving. Further, that you're a partner with me in the spread of the gospel by your spreading the gospel. He just rejoiced in the fellowship of saints. They had given much to him, verse 15 and 16 of chapter 4. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. They had definitely participated in the financial area. But there's much more than that here. He says it's your participation, not in the money, but in the gospel. Not just their participation in the sense of salvation, although that certainly would be part of it, but in the cooperation with the development, the growth, the support of the spread of the gospel. The phrase in the Greek, eis tou angelion, indicates the whole scheme of the gospel development. He's simply saying, I'm just so thankful that you've participated from the very beginning until now in the spread of the gospel. You've come alongside me as partners. Now, you know, that's another element of joy. The person in whom the Spirit of God is free to produce joy will rejoice in the fellowship of the believers. He'll love to be with Christians. He'll love to have a heart that reaches out and says, I bless you for your participation. I rejoice that from the first day of your salvation on, you have participated. You have had fellowship. You've made the ministry happen. That's such a tremendous enrichment. And what a fellowship we have. What a fellowship. William Hendrickson has an exceptional section on this thought in his commentary on Philippians. I have in my mind distilled what he said and added a bit to it. But when I think about the fellowship that we enjoy, the partnership, have you ever really defined what our partnership is? It is a fellowship of grace, first of all, of grace. It's not a natural partnership. It's not a platonic partnership. It's not a man-made partnership. We're not a club or a society like the Elks or the Rotary or the Royal Order of Goats or anybody else. We're not a man-made organization. This is a divine fellowship effected by God in Christ through the Spirit by grace. It's a fellowship of grace. Apart from the Trinity, it's non-existent. Impossible to form on a human level. It transcends time and space, and it's forever. It's also a fellowship of life. We all share the same common eternal life made ours in Christ. He gives us all life. We're all one with Him, one with the Father, one with the Spirit, one with each other. It's a fellowship of life. What a cause of joy. It's a fellowship of faith. Just as Christ draws near to the sinner Himself, the sinner draws near to God in living faith. It's a fellowship of faith. We all believe. We all believe in the same God. We all believe the same truth of God's Word. It's a fellowship of prayer. It's a fellowship where we come commonly before God on behalf of one another. It's a fellowship of praise, a fellowship of thanksgiving. It's a fellowship of love. We enshrine other Christians in our hearts and yearn for them out of love. It's a fellowship of service. Commonly we shoulder the load and do the ministry. It's a fellowship of contributing to others' needs. It's a fellowship of promoting the gospel through preaching, teaching, and witnessing. It's a fellowship of separation from the world and attachment to Christ. We are detached from the world. It's a fellowship of warfare or conflict. We wage war side by side, don't we, against a common enemy. Fellowship. One who is filled with Holy Spirit joy is going to be rejoicing over the fellowship. Is there anything in the world as wonderful as this? I'll tell you, some people go around picking at all kinds of little things, nitpicking every little deal that isn't the way they like it. All that does is demonstrate the absence of Holy Spirit joy. You don't know how good you have it. Look at the partnership you have. Look at the people you have praying for you, coming alongside to enable you to serve Christ. Look at the people you have who care about you, who want to meet your needs, who want to work with your children, your family, nurture you, who are available for you to minister to and to use your spiritual gifts. Look at the folks who serve you. If you can't rejoice in that, the problem's not outside, it's inside. True joy produced by the Spirit recollects the good, sweet memories, loves to intercede on behalf of the needs, doesn't look at them negatively, counts it a delight to pray for others, and rejoices in the fellowship. Never a perfect fellowship, but a supernatural fellowship, a God-authored, divinely designed fellowship. And Paul says, from the first day until now, from Lydia on, he says, from day one by the river, no moment have I not had joy over you. And by the way, 10 years or so had passed. 10 years. Their participation in the spread of the gospel was so unique, no other church had given so generously. They were sacrificial. They came alongside. They faithfully proclaimed the gospel. They served each other in that church. Their hearts were bound up with Paul. Their hearts were bound up in the cause of Christ. Their hearts were bound up with each other. In fact, when Epaphroditus came to see Paul, they were so sad that he wasn't there because they loved him so much. And he was so sad that he wasn't there because he loved them so much that Paul sent him back. They had a fellowship. They had profound joy. Profound joy. When Saul, in the Old Testament, was made king, it says there went with him a band of men whose heart God touched. I love that. Then it says, the next chapter, the news, remember, of Nahash injuring the people of God came. The Holy Spirit came mightily on Saul, and it says, the Spirit of God came mightily on Saul and his men so that they came out as one man. Their hearts God touched, and when the enemy showed himself, they came out as one man. Well, the Philippians and Paul were like that. God had touched all their hearts from the first day, and through all these 10 years or so, they had become one man in heart. And therein lies the joy of Paul. That Philippian church, the sweet memories, the privilege of delightful prayer on their behalf, and the joy of their constant participation. How's your joy? How's the joy in your heart today? You say, well, where do you begin? I'll tell you where you begin. It's all produced by whom? Holy Spirit. You begin with dealing with a sin in your life, confessing it to the Lord, yielding to the Spirit of God, and letting the Spirit produce joy. Let me tell you something. The fact that you are chosen by God to salvation before the foundation of the world, the fact that you have been given such glorious life in Christ, the fact that you have been given the privilege of intercessory prayer and access to God at any time, the fact that God has filled your life with so much blessedness, so it should cause you to be constantly filled with what? With joy. And if it isn't there, don't blame your circumstances. Take the issue where the issue really belongs. It belongs inside. Let's bow together in prayer. Together with our hearts in tune with the Lord, let's ask the Spirit of God to produce that joy in us, to put the floodlight on sin, to reveal it, to cleanse it. Ask the Spirit of God to cultivate the joy of recollection, to see people and remember the good things, the sweet memories. Why make life a burden when you don't have to? Why not enjoy it? Why not love it? Ask the Spirit of God to produce in us the joy of intercession, to be delighted just to pray for the needs of others rather than to point them out as negative. Ask the Spirit of God to renew that joy in your heart. Father, we ask that you would cause us to be grateful and joyful. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name.
You're listening to Grace to You, featuring the verse-by-verse teaching of John MacArthur. Along with teaching on radio, John is also pastor of Grace Community Church and president of the Master's College and Seminary, all located in Southern California. His lesson today is a part of his study from the book of Philippians titled Joy Rules. John, since you talked about intercession today, the privilege of praying for one another, let me ask a question I suspect many of our listeners have. How can they pray for the ministry of Grace to You?
I always think about what the Apostle Paul said when he was writing to the Ephesians, and he said, pray that the gospel will have free course. In other words, pray that nothing will get in the way. Nothing will obstruct the gospel. Nothing will hinder the preaching of the gospel. And that's been my prayer since I began ministering way back as a kid, just coming out of high school and preaching for the first few times. Lord, please give your truth free course. Don't let anything stand in the way. And I pray that not only for myself, but for every faithful preacher, for every book that contains your truth, for every radio broadcast that proclaims your truth, for every television broadcast that proclaims your truth. On the other side, you know, I think we have to pray that the false teachers will be silenced. The Apostle Paul does that. He asks God to silence false teachers, but that the truth may have free course. pray for grace to you to be unhindered, unobstructed in its endeavor, really 2,000 times a day in English and Spanish, just on radio, and then with 1.5 to 2 million sermons being downloaded a month, the truth is going out like it never has in the history of this ministry. Pray that that continues to go forth, and then pray that God will send back the sustaining support that we need to keep the ministry going. We need your prayers because the effectual, fervent prayers of righteous people produce much. God works through prayer. I used to say that they are the muscles that move omnipotence. So we need your prayers.
Friend, if you're looking for ways that you can support this ministry, prayer is the best place to start. Pray for John, for our volunteers and staff, and for more opportunities to take the truth of God's Word across the globe. You can also support this ministry financially as you're led and able to partner with Grace to You and help ensure believers here in the U.S. and beyond continue to benefit from John's teaching. Make a donation when you contact us today. You can send a tax-deductible gift to Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. You can also give online at gty.org or when you call 1-800-55-GRACE. That translates numerically to 800-554-7223. Now, if you're looking to get ahead on your Christmas shopping, Grace to You has a number of resources that are ideal for students of God's Word. You can get our flagship resource, the MacArthur Study Bible, as well as numerous titles by John, like his popular series of books on biblical characters, 12 Ordinary Men, 12 Extraordinary Women, and 12 Unlikely Heroes. To order those or other things, call 1-800-55-GRACE or visit the website gty.org. Don't forget about the thousands of free resources that are available to you at that website, gty.org. For example, you can download more than 3,000 of John's sermons in MP3 or transcript format. You can also read the daily devotionals, or you can get the Grace to You app for your tablet or your smartphone. That's all free at gty.org. And now for John MacArthur and the entire staff, I'm your host, Carl Miller. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again tomorrow for another 30 minutes of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, here on Grace to You. The Bible promises you untold riches if you're a believer. It also promises trouble. So how can you have joy in every circumstance? We'll consider that on tomorrow's Grace to You.